Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
All right. Only one dude with the stones to walk up to this song. His name is Neil Greenberg. From the Washington Post. What up, Greenberg? How you doing, bud?
Super duper. How are you boys doing?
Sounds like you're doing better than Davey Martinez. Nats have lost 10 in a row, dude. They're a mess. They were losing 10-1 to the Rockies last night, which are barely a 4A baseball team. Where you at in Nats town, dude?
Well, I just did a story on the Rockies being historically bad. And if you lose to a historically bad team, you know, that's not great for you. I heard Rizzo on the Junkies this morning. He certainly sounded like a guy that wasn't looking to make a managerial change anytime soon. I have to think if the Nats get swept by the Rockies, that's something that we probably address. But it takes a lot to fire a manager mid-season. I don't think that those are lightly made moves. I know we've seen a couple so far this year, but those are some really bad teams. I don't know if the Nats fall into like the really bad teams category, even though they're losing to a really bad team. So I'm not surprised that Rizzo is staying where he is. I don't think a managerial change changes anything. But the Nats they're just in an unfortunate spot. Losers of 10, the last two to a really bad team, you know, it's definitely going to get people talking.
Yeah, it gets people talking, but I think eventually, like, you keep hearing I mentioned this to Mark Zuckerman about be patient. That's the message to fans. Today is trying for everybody. Be patient. I'm buying tickets. I want to see better production. If I don't see it, if you don't fire somebody and then the fans stop going, then they're going to have to fire people.
Yeah, sometimes you make a move for making a move's sake. But I will tell you one thing that I got from the Rizzo interview, and that's never underestimate the value of winning a World Series, because he pretty much pointed to that and said, you know, the media and everybody, fans, wanted the change in 2019, and look what ended up happening. You know, that's certainly a vote of confidence. But, you know, again, I mean, this is a rebuild. The Nationals weren't supposed to be competitive or good or really do much yet. They probably won't until they spend some money. You can change the manager, but doesn't mean the team's going to improve right away.
Do you think they should fire Davey Greenberg?
No, I don't. I don't think that it's, this is a managerial thing. I just, you look at the club and they're going through the growing pains, right? I mean, you know, Dylan Cruz is certainly struggling to figure it out, but he's young. You know, you have James Wood who's doing really well. You know, you have some pieces here and there, but it's a young team and there's going to be growing pains. And, you know, it certainly sounds like Davey, you know, well, I should say Rizzo believes Davey has done it before and can do it again. And I just, you know, a managerial change is not going to mature this team. It's not going to get veterans on the team. It's not going to, you know, inflate the payroll to where they bring in superstar players. You know, just ride it out and see what happens.
But the question is, how long is winning the World Series going to be the excuse? Because that's 6 years ago. They're in a rebuild, which is in the fourth year now. It doesn't look like it's going to change next year or the following year. So I understand that, you know, like when you look at the super, super teams and you look at the super levels or even college football, people win the championship and they get fired if they're not getting things done. So, and I know Davey is not the only person at fault. Ownership, front office, players not playing it the way they're supposed to play. Everybody's at fault, but one guy seems to be getting all the blame when everything is going on. And guess who's footing the bill? Fans.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly look. I get the frustration, and I get wanting to point to something being done that says to the fans, losing is not acceptable. And that's probably the biggest communication point we have here. And when you're losing to Colorado and you have the 10-game losing streak and you're not making any changes, you're saying that the fans just have to kind of eat it a little bit, and this is the way it's going to be, and we'll change it down the road.
Yeah.
And I certainly get, you know, the needing a scapegoat. I mean, that's a part of the business. But I just don't know if fans are going to care, because if the change doesn't do anything,
right,
then you're still left where you're at. And I don't know. This doesn't have a fix. I guess that's my point. Like, there's no fix. And if it makes fans feel better to fire Davey, then I guess you have to bring that into the calculus. But, you know, to fire someone and not have any change results, to me, just doesn't seem like the smart move.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, you could lean on this World Series for 2019, but Bill Belichick got fired. Bobby Bowden got fired. Coaches get fired. And it seems like they want to just get through the year. And, it, you know, Zuck told us that there's a clause in his contract, like, they seem to just want to ride it out. I feel like they have a disinterested ownership group, or at least a splintered, are we selling this thing or not ownership group? I don't know. I don't have a direct line to ownership. But to me, it's like you could fire Davey or not. Vegas still had you winning 71 games going into the season. And maybe you're underperforming that. My two biggest concerns specific to Davey are – is there a lack of vocality? Like, is his laid-back nature just not hitting the right buttons right now? Do you need someone that can challenge umps and challenge players and challenge people more? And then my biggest concern, this team is all about these young studs becoming stars, right? What does losing like this do to them? Those are questions. I don't know that there's answers, but that to me, like, if I have to point to what I find the most concerning, it's those two things.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly a question to ask. You know, is Davey, what slice of the blame pie does Davey have,
right,
for Dylan Cruz batting 196, right? And and is he standing in the way of Cruz's further development? You know, that's certainly a question worth asking. I don't know what the answer is. But that's certainly a question worth asking. But I still think that that's a question that could be answered at the end of the season and not necessarily make a big change during the season.
Yeah.
But again, you know, people need scapegoats.
Talking with our friend,
yep,
Neil Greenberg.
True.
talking with Neil Greenberg here, Washington Post. You can give him a follow at N Greenberg. Of course, Neil joins us via the Rood guest hotline. Rood is the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. You know, before the Nats were losing 10-1 to the Colorado Rockies last night, you and I had texted or maybe tweeted about having a conversation about luck and luck in sports. And before we get to the football side of this, like even just looking at the Nats, they were 15-12 last month. Now they're 2-13 through 18 days of June. Sometimes things just shift on their own, and maybe they just need a couple breaks and just get a win. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, luck is pervasive in all sports. It's one of the reasons why we love it, because it's what helps underdogs win. You know, if luck didn't exist, the best teams would always win. Like, you wouldn't have the Leicester Cities of the world, and you wouldn't have a team like the Pacers, you know, playing for an NBA championship. I mean, you know, luck is a big factor in sports. But I always point to, you know, flipping a coin, right? There's a 50-50 chance of getting heads on any fair flip. But you can go 2, 3, 5, sometimes 10 flips without ever seeing heads. And it doesn't mean that the coin is flawed or your technique is flawed. Like, sometimes it just happens, and it could happen at the worst time. It could happen at the best time. And with baseball in particular, 162 games, 4 at-bats a game. You know, you're trying to put you're trying to hit a ball that's coming at you at 100 miles an hour. You know, like, there's so much that goes into it, that you're going to have hot and cold streaks. That's just the nature of the game. And there's just no way to divorce yourself from that in any sport. Luck is pervasive. And, you know, it's a tough one, because we want, you know, as like a data analyst, like, I want to be able to quantify everything. But obviously, luck is one of those things that's just very difficult to quantify.
Well, what is it? What up with the people that try to quantify luck then?
Well, that was part of what I wanted to talk about today. I mean, my colleague Sam 48 wrote a really good article about luck in the NFL and how it affects Washington Commanders. And I absolutely have no problem with people doing that. I've written about luck myself. Like, I like that part. I think the person that he interviewed, who goes under the name Data with Bliss on Twitter, is a very smart guy. Does a lot of good analytical stuff for the NFL. Really smart, knows what he's doing. I just have a difficult time, like, trying to say, you know, we know what luck is. We know how to quantify it, and we know how it affects teams. You know, I think we need to take a step back a little bit. My biggest problem, and this is going to sound so silly, like, my biggest problem with the win probability added stuff is that it uses decimal places. And to me, using a decimal place means that you have certainty. Like, to say something is 99.86.5% means, like, you are certain. And there's just no way you could be certain with how luck affects the outcome of any, you know, team event, at bat, throw, etc. So I have a big problem with that. I have a big problem with not explaining, you know, when you're saying that a drop pass adds, let's say, 38% to the win rate, win probability. What that really means is, like, the average drop pass adds that. What really happens, though, is it could be anywhere from 20% to 50%, depending on who it is, when it happens, etc., what the stakes of the game are. And I just think context, you know, we talked about this before, like, context is really important. And the other thing we don't know is, what does it mean? Like, if a player drops a pass, like, what does that mean going forward? Does that mean he's always going to drop a pass? Does that mean that that's the only pass he's going to drop this season? Does that mean that it was all his fault? Was it 10% his fault? Was it 50% his fault? Like, there's just so many levers that we don't know if they go up or down, left or right, or diagonally. Mm-hmm. And I just have a hard time, like, trying to put too fine a point on luck in most sports, especially football, when, you know, it's a weird-shaped ball that just bounces around everywhere, and, you know, sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't.
But, like, the thing, like, for me, being in practices all my life, and I watch the guys that BS, and I watch the guys who really work. And then once practice is over, there are guys who go home and do nothing pertaining to football. But that other guy goes home and studies football and studies the plays and all. And he seems to always have good luck. But the other guy don't always have good luck. And people act like work and practice and doing stuff consistently has nothing to do with the outcome. That's where I'm completely lost, where, like, what they did last year, you watch them, it completely changed from one year to the next. So, yes, it could. Luck is something that's around in this world. But a lot of times you make your own luck by the way you prepare. And I think preparation has to be counted.
Yeah, without a doubt. Luck is the residue of design, right? Like, if you can influence luck in a lot of different ways. Like you said, hard work, practice, you know, getting out on the field, a quarterback and his wide receiver working on timing 10 times versus 100 times. Like, you know, if one of them drops a pass or is behind or early or whatever, you know, someone's going to say, well, that was just some bad luck because he was a step short. But, you know, that's the difference between 10 reps and 100 reps, right? So, you know, you have to take that into account. And you know, the other thing is, let's use the Washington Commanders as an example, not because they're local, but because how much has changed. And to say, like, you know, in 2023, you know, they were this lucky of a team, and then in 2024, they were this lucky of a team. There was so much change that happened. Like, not only can you not make that comparison, but I don't even think that it's fair to use them in the data set to talk about other teams in the future, because it was a unique situation with ownership change, general manager change, coaching changes, quarterback changes, rookie quarterback doing well. Like, there's just so many pieces that are moving around. And then we'll talk about the short sample size of only 17 games, 16 games in some seasons. Like, I just have a hard time making absolute declarations that a team was lucky or not. And more specifically, like, that, what that means in the future.
Yeah.
And again, I've written about luck. I've tried to put this context in there. But I just think we got to be real careful with trying to be certain, or at least, like, putting out there that we're more certain than we probably should be.
You know what luck is, Greenberg? When I hit my ball last year, I pulled it left, and I was like, damn, and the ball all of a sudden started to come back to the right. I wasn't trying to hit a cut. The wind blew it that way. It hit the ground and right. Jumped in the hole. I can hit a 6-iron 185 yards, but I can't say it's going to land in that damn hole. Now, that was luck, okay? But for me to hit it consistently 185, yes, that happens all the time because I work at it.
It also means you're given a chance for that to happen.
Yeah, but the fact that it pops in the hole, that's luck. Now, if I get somebody that never picked up a golf club and they hit it in the hole the first time, that's extreme luck. Because I promise you, the next time he probably couldn't even get the ball off the ground.
Without a doubt, like, what's repeatable? And that's kind of at the heart of data analytics for sports, right? Like, what is talent? And what is luck?
Yeah.
And how do we know the difference?
Yeah.
And, you know, even with, like, dropped interceptions, which are part of that rubric, you know, that's part luck, part skill, right? Like, some defenders just have a hard time hauling in an interception.
Well, and but to Fortier's credit, I thought in that story he did a really good job of asking Dan Quinn about it. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, you know.
That's why they move him to cornerback, because they can't catch.
Well, but he said, he's like, so one of the biggest pro-luck indicators in the data was when Juwan Johnson dropped the two-point conversion in New Orleans,
mm-hmm.
where Washington was god-awful in the second half of that game, offense and defense. And if he brings that in, they lose. He didn't. And Dan Quinn's like, yeah, I guess you could call that a drop, but he also had Noah Eye hanging all over him. Like, what is Noah Eye's impact on the play?
Yeah.
And I just think context, to your earlier point, Neil, is so vital. And I think PFF is a really valuable service in a lot of ways, right? I think the formational stuff, information they can give you about how often a team runs 12, 13, what defenses do on third down. I think the stuff you can measure in football is largely pre-snap. Once that ball is snapped, there are so many people and so many things and an oblong-shaped leather ball. Like, it's just so hard to make any sort of quantifiable determination when there's 22 dudes running around trying to kill each other.
I agree.
Yeah, one of my favorite things is when Pro Football Focus gives a quarterback a high or low grade, because it's subjective, and then something objective, like ESPN's total quarterback rating, is completely opposite. So, like, Geno Smith's a good example. Geno Smith, Pro Football Focus rated 7th, and total quarterback rating were, like, in the 20s. So what that's saying to me is the process was good, the results aren't, and then that, to me, is interesting, because then I need to go in there and figure out why that's happening. Like, but that just goes to show you that we're measuring different things, and, you know, these all-in-one stats, wins above replacement, grades, ratings, et cetera, really need to be the starting point of conversation and not the end point, because, like you said, a lot goes into playing a game, a sport, throwing the ball around, people moving, et cetera. Like, we just need to really figure out what it is that we know, and more importantly, what we don't know, and then make sure that's clear when we're using these type of things.
Very good conversation,
Neil.
Appreciate you, bud.
All right. Love you guys. I'll talk to you next week.
Hi, brother.
That's our guy, Neil Greenberg. Give him a follow at NGreenberg. Smart conversation there. I enjoyed that.
Yeah.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. If you missed any of our interview with Neil Greenberg, I thought it was a really good examination into what's going wrong with the Washington Nationals, how just day-to-day life is impacted by luck, how luck is created, how luck is eviscerated. I don't know. It's Some questions don't have answers.
How luck is unexplainable.
Yeah, dude.
To be honest with you.
If you missed any of that, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple, whatever, you can listen to our segment with Greenberg. It was a good one.
Very good.
I want to circle back to this because I think Nats fans are pissed for a number of different things, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're pissed at, like, at some point we need a different, I don't want to be too, like, cataclysmic about this, but the reality is we can keep calling it a rebuild if we want, but this might just be what the organization is. Like, nobody in Pittsburgh is calling that a rebuild because the Pirates have just sucked forever because they don't spend any money.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Reds, like, some of these organizations, the Royals, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. There are some of these organizations that are just bottom feeders, and occasionally they pop, right? I think the Royals won a World Series within the last 6-7 years. Maybe it was 10 years ago. But, like, the Nats might have just had their pop, and now this is who they are.
Yeah.
And I think fans are pissed about that because for a while, to their credit, the Lerner spent, and this team was good, and they were a playoff contender every year. But it's now been 5 years the opposite direction.
Yeah.
This is not a small sample anymore. And so I think fans are pissed about that. Then I think fans are pissed about the micro, the actual 10-game losing streak, losing 3 in a row to Miami and then 2 right now to Colorado.
Mm-hmm.
Understandably, fans are right to be pissed about all these things. But I wanted to circle back to Davey's comments over the weekend that really seemed to bother a lot of people. And from reporters I know and trust, Mark Zuckerman's telling me players were pissed.
I don't blame him.
Let's hear what Davey said.
When you look at the offense as a whole, I know you guys haven't produced like you wanted to this month. For you, how much of that is on the players, on coaching?
Never on coaching. Okay, coaches work their asses off every single day. You know, we're not going to finger point here and say it's coaches. It's never on the coaches.
Now, that's not true. So, to say it's never on the coaching shows that he's not in tune with reality. Because a coach can teach you something the wrong way or tell you something the wrong way. Sometimes it's when they say something or how they say it, okay? We were playing golf yesterday. What did I tell you? I say, when the guy would say something real late,
yeah.
That's a problem. But to say it's never on coaching is BS.
It's defensive. I wonder. So there's been a lot of consternation about Darnell Coles, the hitting coach. And I feel like in that moment, Davey just wanted to pounce to protect his coach, his guy. But
if he
to
was
say
saying
it's never
not,
on coaching, then why are there coaches in the first
if he
place?
Had said
why do you even exist?
It's not only on the coaches. Sure. Then I would have taken that. But to say it's never on the coaches, you got to be a damn fool. What you think, coaches are perfect?
I think he misspoke, but sometimes it doesn't matter. If you misspoke, you still said it.
Yeah.
And I wonder, I'm not talking, you are a sage, very smart, calm grandfather now. I want to know what.
I don't know how true that is.
Some of those are true. I want to know what 27-year-old B. Mitch in a locker room reacts to that. Player in locker room hears coach say, it's not on us, it's on them.
I would have probably talked directly to that coach. And I was smart enough not to do it in front of other players or people like that. Walk in his office, have a conversation, and say, dog, you didn't mean to say what you said, did you? Because right now you're saying that we are screwing up and you all are perfect and you all are shouldn't be given any blame. And if that's what you truly believe, then guess what? You just lost this whole damn locker room. And I can understand now where what's the young lady that called yesterday?
Anna.
Anna is saying he lost the locker room because I'm probably of that damn comment. Because that comment will lose you a locker room. When coaches say something sometimes, they're just like any other person. They're not perfect with it. But it's never on the coaches. That's finality, right? So every time we have a problem, it's only on the players, not on the coaches. That's a damn lie. Some coaches are horrible. Some coaches get their job just because their boy is the head dude, or they have some familiarity or some relative that was in the front office.
Sure.
Some coaches aren't good at what they do. And if you tell a player, coachable players, they do exactly what the coach says, because there are players that want to give all, hey, man, you the coach, they hired you, I believe in you. And if you tell me something the wrong way, guess what I'm now doing? I'm now going 100% the wrong damn way. And then you will say that me listening to you is not your fault, it's my fault. So I can understand why fans got pissed and why players would be ultimately pissed at that.
That was really, really good. Lou, whoever's listening, B. Mitch explaining that is really, really valuable. And hopefully fans heard it and can understand. I don't think it was an accident this morning. Mike Rizzo was on with the Junks, and he seemed to be in scramble mode a little bit. Like, just his comments. But one thing he said that I thought was on purpose is he said Davey still has the pulse of the clubhouse. I don't know that that's accurate.
Davey lost a lot of the pulse when he made that comment.
Yeah.
Because at that point, you're in a dire situation. This is when you're supposed to galvanize and come together. You basically pushed your players away, and you pulled your coaches closer to you, which now make a player have a problem with a coach that he was respecting just a little bit earlier. Because now, if the head man says it's never the coaches, now you're starting to think that coach might have been lying to you, wasn't genuine with you. And that's that fractured yep. from relationships right there.
You're drawing a line.
I would expect him, listen, bro, he needs to, whether publicly or some type of way, go to those players and say, that's not what I meant. I meant to say it's not just the coaches. And then that may help, but it's never the coaches. That's the quickest way to be like losing the damn locker room.
You draw a line. You create an us and them where it's supposed to just be all of us together. Mm-hmm. And it's tricky.
And it's just like little things. I remember one of my coaches, he said something which I didn't agree with, so I questioned him. And he told me, why are you questioning me? You're supposed to just listen. I said, no. I was taught when I don't agree with something to ask a question. And if you're not having, if you don't have a problem with trying to explain it, then it shouldn't be a problem, right? This dude went on to tell me I had no home training, which to me means now you're knocking my mom and my daddy.
Right.
So I had to step to him. I listen, everybody say what they want to say. That you've never been in a locker room, you don't understand the dynamics. Once he started questioning my mom and my dad, then I had to step to him and check him. And he quickly realized that, oh, I better change this up. No, he said, what I was saying is you're not respecting elders. Well, if the elder is wrong, why the hell am I respecting? Because eventually he was wrong. We found out that he was wrong. So you got to be careful what you say, especially to a group of men. I don't care if they're 21, 22,
elite athletes,
or they're 30. They are testosterone-driven dudes who know their craft if they're where they are. And let's be real. People don't just be given jobs to be players in the league.
Sure.
But they are, a lot of people are given jobs to be coaches in the league.
Well said right there. This song goes out to Natstown right now. There's pain.
Yes.
All right, so I'm just going to read some tweets from my man Mark Zuckerman, Mass in Sports, about last night's game. Jake Irvin gave up an early home run. I think Stallion, or maybe it was Toby, might have said you should always bet on Jake Irvin giving up a run in the first inning, which I didn't bet on, but I should have. Zuckerman tweeted last night, Jake Irvin's first inning ERA is now 10.8. After that, it's 2.77.
Yeah, but
so you just get Jake into the second, you're grooving. He gave up an early home run. But the Nats, James Wood hit a two-run shot, his 18th. Nats are on top last night. And Kyle Finnegan's been good. Nats had a lead going into the ninth against the Rockies. You should win this ball game. The phone is open to Anna and only Anna. Anna, if you call, you're coming right on. Kyle Finnegan gives up a home run to Hunter Goodman. Game tied 4-4. Then a person by the name of Mickey Moniak takes Finnegan deep. Nats trail 6-4. Final. Rockies 6, Nats 4. I got to remind people, the Rockies had won 14 games prior to last night.
Yeah, and again, the guy that's starting tonight is 1-10.
Now,
the Rockies.
Zuck also has a story that I just read. The Nats have now lost 9 in a row, okay?
Okay.
Do you know what has happened every other season the Washington Nationals have had a 9-game losing streak?
They missed the playoffs?
Yes, but worse than that.
What?
They've had 100-plus losses. Mm. So this 9-game losing
streak.
They're
right now at 40-something?
Right now, I think they're 30 and 42. Mm. Yeah, 30 and 42. A 9-game losing streak is a really, really bad precedent, man.
Yeah.
I don't think this is a 100-loss team. I like to think they'll get their head kind of turned around here. But this is a June month here that is just completely submarining their season.
Yeah.
You've been on some bad teams. Football's such a different sport than baseball. But, like, what, if anything, can be done to turn things around?
The one thing about baseball, when do they have time to practice and correct stuff? They have so many damn games, they're always playing. When do they have time to practice and correct? Something's going on with their pitching, their bullpen. It's not good. When are they going to correct it? How are they correct it?
I believe we have Anna. Is that
Anna,
right?
Anna, what's up?
Jeff, is this Anna? All right. Anna from Fairfax.
Yes. Same story as yesterday. I mean, I told you, he's lost the locker room. He needs to be gone. Davey Martinez needs to be gone. That was pathetic last night. Did you read some of the tweets? People are dressing up as empty chairs now. I mean, really? It's pretty sad.
Mm. Anna, how did you feel when Finnegan gave up the 2 home runs in the ninth?
Oh, okay. In real life, I'm like, well, it wasn't unexpected. You knew it was going to happen. I mean, I felt bad for him because it was just odd. Like, you know, you've never done this in all of these games, and today you pick this? Like, were you doing it on purpose? I don't know. I felt bad. I really did. I felt bad for him, but not bad enough that I'm going to support Davey Martinez.
You take it. Are you concerned now, 9 losses in a row, whenever the organization has had a 9-loss season, Anna, they've gone on to lose 100-plus games?
Oh, yeah, that won't surprise me in the absolute least. I don't see them turning this around. I mean, when you're losing to Colorado, I mean, really? Really? I mean, Colorado must have felt like they won the World Series yesterday.
Do you go to a lot of games, Anna?
No, I do not. I mean, as real as it is, I mean, I watch them. I love watching them. Going to games, sometimes, you know, when I can get tickets, when I can go. Right now, I can tell you, I won't pay to go watch any of these.
It's a tough time. Davey's a good person, but if he's lost the clubhouse, I don't know that you come back from that.
Right. I just feel like that's what's happened. I really do. I mean, it's like there's no energy. You don't see the energy, you know. And I understand teams go through all this bad stuff, but it's like, come on, guys. After a while, it's like an old record. It's like it's getting old now. But, again, you know, get rid of them. I mean, what's the worst that's going to happen? Bring up the AAA coaches? I mean, how much worse could we actually get? Let's think about that. How much worse can we get?
9 in a row is bad.
9 in a row is bad.
You got to win tonight. The opposing pitcher is 1-10.
You know, you watch it and you're like, oh, my God, we've got the lead. And then you think in your head, well, we're going to probably screw this up, you know? I don't know. I mean, I was having fun watching. I don't know if you watched any of the. I'm sorry. But, you know, you're watching a kid go. I mean, you're watching that, and then you flip over and you watch the Nats and go.
Well,
wow.
You would say exactly what you said.
I mean, that was the thing. It's like, There's a first, you know, it's a first no-hitter in 65 years, and I'm laughing at my husband. I said, not anybody out there, unless it's a grandparent, was even alive when that happened the last time, you know, for the world, for the College World Series. And I'm like, this kid has given it everything he's got. Everybody's doing their thing. And you're like, and now we're going to watch the Nats. Okay. You know?
Anna, what if I told you I bet on the Nats last night?
Oh, that's, to me, that's a sucker bet, honey. But that's me.
Oh, he's very much that.
I mean, I'm sorry, JP. That is a sucker bet to me. But, you know, and again, you know, miracles happen every day. But, okay, so they win today. Okay, you know. Again, you're playing Colorado. If you're playing the Mets, the Yankees, the Dodgers, that would be awesome. You're playing Colorado.
Anna, we appreciate you responding. Anna. You're like Batman. We put the sign up and you're there for us.
Well, I was out. I was out doing errands and I said, "Oh my god," my husband laughs. He said, "Oh my god, you said your name out loud."
All right.
Listen, you guys have a good one. I enjoy listening to you guys because you just make my day, and you have a wonderful day, and maybe the sun will shine at some point again.
So. You do the same.
Thank you, Anna. Take care.
Thanks, bye.
All right. We love Anna. She's pissed.
Oh, yes, she is.
Barstool Nate out in Vegas.
Think he's going to be pissed?
The tables are running cold for Nate Dogg. So
Nate is like the net.
We'll get an update. Nobody go anywhere. It's
Nets, Peter Schiffin. Nate, same thing.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline and talk to our friend Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. Sammy, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yo, thank you for making time, man. Obviously, we have this conversation about your piece yesterday, which I really enjoyed. I thought it was well done. I think you kind of try to present something that's really difficult to do in a really like fair and full view. But you also covered the Nats for a long time, and I want to at least let you kind of chime in on the mess they got in Natstown and the significant pressure, at least among the fan base, towards getting rid of Davey Martinez.
Dang, that is – I did not expect us to start there. But, I mean, look, man, I covered them the year that everything worked out, right? Like, I was in Milwaukee when they fell to 19-31, and I was like, shoot. I mean, I remember there was a series against the Mets, I think right before that or right after that, where I thought Davey was getting fired then. You know, like, I think we even had, like, pre-written news, and he, you know, turned it around. And I would say that when you look over the last, I don't know, five seasons or whatever, and you see that this team has only won more games than the Rockies, you got to think to yourself, you know, which one of those seasons is the outlier. I'm not close to it. Andrew Golden and Spencer Nussbaum do a great job for us. But when I just look at the results, it's like, are you making progress to win a championship? I don't know.
Hard to say they are. All right, appreciate that. Let's get down to why we asked you to come on. Yesterday in the Washington Post, you wrote a story about luck and how luck can impact a football season. And it's important, I think, to point out all you are doing is looking at data collected by a data scientist, by this dude, Tom Bliss, and his determination on the Commanders' luck last season being significantly higher than any other NFL team. And you presented a straightforward story. I thought you did a great job of asking DQ about it, specifically that Juwan Johnson drop in New Orleans. What did you take away from your story where the data supports that Washington was incredibly lucky last year?
Yeah, and after some feedback that I got in my email and on my mentions on Twitter, like, I want to point out that, like, this is not to denigrate or downplay, you know, the seasons they had last year. I think that, like, any football team, if you're going to be successful and win a Super Bowl, like, you got to be good and you got to be lucky. And so when I look, you know, for the whole offseason, right, you know, free agency, the draft, we've been talking about, okay, how do the additions fit in? And, you know, during OTAs, you look and you say, okay, Mikey Sanders still's working with Debo. And then, so to me, it was, what new piece of this can we look at? How can I be more accurate in my, like, projections for what they're going to be this season? And I started to look at the margins, and it was like, oh, okay, like, you know, they didn't have a lot of injuries. They won a lot of one-score games. Oh, this guy at the NFL is tracking, like, luck, which, you know, we can debate the numbers on that, but, like, his standardized numbers across the league for the last three seasons say that the Commanders, with things that they don't control, like opponents dropping passes, opponents dropping interceptions, he says that's the luckiest team, the 2024 Commanders, in the last three NFL seasons. Those are important data points to understand if we're talking about what happened last year and what to expect from next year.
Like, the thing I took, I understand what you wrote was good, but I think luck is a natural part of it, and some things that he justifies as luck is not necessarily luck. You know, if you just standing there by yourself, somebody throw you a ball and you drop it, that may be lucky. But if a defender is harassing you, that's not necessarily luck. That's a defender harassing you. You know, so that when people like with even what you call him said this morning, Greenberg, when a data analyst try to act like they're certain about everything, that's when they go a little too far. And that's why I think the guy you use his numbers, he went too far to act as if he knew so much.
I think for me, it was, I didn't use his exact numbers, the win probability stuff in the story, because it's like, okay, you know, I'm not sure that means anything to anybody, 180 versus 160, what's that mean? But to me, it's, if you're going to look at everything standardized across, you know, the league across these seasons, you know, it's sort of like the draft pick value chart, right? Like, whatever Jimmy Johnson says it is, it's like, to me, you're setting a price. And if it's the same win probability for everybody in the same models, then you, at least you're looking at the same thing to compare how lucky was the Juwan Johnson drop versus the Malik Nabers drop versus, you know, something else. So I agree. Like, I get the numbers might not be precise, but I do think they're standardized and therefore like a useful tool to look at this stuff in context.
I think the context is interesting. So what was the feedback to the story? You said your mentions and you were getting emails about it.
I think I touched a nerve a little bit because it seems like Commanders fans who, you know, you always like they had this great season last year. I'm standing outside my apartment right now, and a guy walking by just yelled, "Go Birds." So
at least he knows who you are.
Yeah, exactly. This season is going to be fun. But I think anytime you say, hey, like, it wasn't just talent, it wasn't just Jaden or everybody coming together on the field, you don't, like, it feels like fans felt I was trying to take something away from them, which I was not trying to do at all. I was just trying to say, hey, this is a part of the discussion that we can have about how last season went. So that's, you know, that I think was the feedback I was getting.
So it kind of, I mean, you and I were there for all of it, right? And I remember leaving the Atlanta game, walking in my car was for Luga, and we both were like, wow, like this is a real thing. Like, this team could go on a run here. And you and I are also at practice, and we watch how they practice late game situations and even just kind of late clock situations. Cause I think last year anyway, they were elite at stealing points at the end of first half.
Totally.
Elite.
And I think hiring a dude like Dave Gardy is a really forward-thinking step that the organization took towards managing the clock and being good in situational play. And I think Jaden, above all, is just so poised. I think the luck stuff, the one thing that stood out to me most from that information was that Jaden did not only take advantage of good luck throwing picks that get dropped, but he was hurt by some of the picks he threw shouldn't have even been interceptions in general. And so for me, it's like great quarterbacks tend to create big situations where they deliver.
Mm-hmm. And
I think that is where trying to look at a luck matrix skews it.
Absolutely. And this is the exact, and B brought this up earlier, like when I talked to the players, because I wanted to get the player perspective on this, you know, I was like, hey, like, there's this metric, this guy at the NFL, he says this, I'm curious what you think. And like, it basically became a round table with, you know, Biotish, Allegretti, Wiley, and Marcus too later. And it's like, they believe that luck exists in their everyday life. But I think they have a hard time accepting that luck plays a role in the field. And I think that's probably partly because, you know, you train all your life to, you know, to control your performance and your preparation and things like that. And so, like, when, you know, when they hear, oh, you guys got lucky, it's like, I don't think that was luck in the first place. So, like, we're going to continue to go because, you know, the quote I think that really stood out to me was I asked Tyler Biotis, like, you know, do you believe in luck? That's how I started all the conversations, just to be, you know, kind of get a good baseline. I said, do you believe in luck? And he was like, I believe in five. And that, to me, said it all.
Mm-hmm.
I think I really do agree with that. I think
that says it all.
Yeah, and then, like, do you get some good breaks? Like, we talked about it with the Hail Mary, right? We've seen them practice Hail Marys in late situations.
Mm-hmm.
The play before the Hail Mary, we had a caller yesterday point this out. I thought it was really good. The Bears are in a terrible coverage. They let Terry McLaurin get a 20-yard gain and get out of bounds with really like zero restriction on him, right? And then on the Hail Mary, yo, is a Hail Mary fluky? Absolutely. Do a million things have to break right for that to happen?
Yep.
Absolutely. But at the same time, one of the Bears DBs is on the other side of the field arguing with a fan. Like, you look at all of that, and is it lucky, or is one team more prepared in this end-of-game moment? Maybe both things are true.
Absolutely, JP. I think that's the right conclusion here, is, like, both things got, you know, they had to be true last year, they got to be true next year, whoever wins the Super Bowl. You know, like it's both things. And to me, like, and I should point out that this, like, NFL luck matrix didn't even include the Hail Mary. And the Hail Mary is absolutely something that is practiced. I was talking to Marcus Mariota. I wish I put this in the story. I forgot to. But, like, he said, you know, the Hail Mary to me, like, it is partly luck, but we practice it. And he said at the offensive meeting today, tight ends coach David Rye got up and he, like, we installed Hail Mary. And he's like, I've been a part of teams where we don't talk about that, or we just, you know, put it on the board and we're like, oh, yeah, mm-hmm. like, you go here, and we don't walk it through in practice. But here, we walk it through in practice. We do all of these situational things. And to me, like, that is the purest distillation of you got to be good and you got to be a little lucky.
Mm-hmm.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I think
I take the little lucky thing, but, like, I just, I don't care that the guy worked for the NFL, to be honest with you. He works for the NFL. He does some stuff. But when you just put numbers together and you try to justify what 1,800 people are doing, that's impossible. Because if you do it for JP and then you do it for me, you're talking about two people with two totally different levels of athleticism.
You know what I mean? Very different levels.
So when those things go down, like, you're lucky here. It's like you can't quantify that thing about, well, if the guy did it, then this is a luck thing. Or luck major, it falls into the luck majors thing. Another team does the exact same thing. It may not work the same way for them.
Right. To me, though, I feel like, you know, these numbers, while they're not totally accurate, like, or while, you know, you can't be 100% precise, it's sort of like the discussion about, oh, okay, like, what's better, yards or expected points added? Like, I don't think EPA is a perfect metric, but it does feel like that's a better understanding of how effective someone is than just passing or rushing yards. And so when I look at this luck metric, I'm not saying it's gospel, but it is, I think, a helpful data point to, like, you know, get in the ballpark.
Sure. I think that's all you're looking for. But I guess this would be my, not counter, right? But, like, this is, it's really hard to accumulate hard data, like quantifiable metrics, to illustrate something like an undefinable universal force like luck, right? Mm-hmm. And so I can applaud the attempt at doing it. But even, so of the metrics, the only thing to me that is true luck, that is at the will of the ether, mm-hmm, is how a fumble bounces. Because the ball's a weird shape, and that thing can go a million different directions. But, like, even trying to, like, I thought you did a good job in the story of pointing out some times where it could have been luck. Like the Giants game week two. Neighbors drops that pass late, right? Well, you'd already caught 10. Maybe something else happened there. Maybe he hurt his thumb. And I think the bigger issue in that Giants game is the Giants didn't have a kicker because the kicker got hurt on the opening kickoff. Well, I had heard he was already kind of hurt. And I had heard, I know they had a kicker on their practice squad. They could have elevated Saturday night.
And they didn't.
And they didn't. You know what I mean? So it's like every butterfly effect, you know? Like every one little thing has like 50 ramifications going into it.
The thing I appreciate about DQ when I talked to him was he acknowledged, like, there is always going to be some unknown. Like, that's a part of the fun of the game. But you can control your preparation and, like, you know, you're always going to compete as hard as you can. And so, like, I, you know, even though the Juwan Johnson drop is included in the luck metric, I don't subscribe to the idea that that's pure luck. Like, you know, Noah was in tight coverage on the guy, and that had to have played a role there. And so, like, exactly like you're saying with neighbors, and it's preparation. You got to account for every single possible, hey, where are the cameras in this stadium? Like, what's going to give us a good replay? So if we got to challenge something and it's in the south end zone versus the north end zone, like, you control all of those things to minimize the amount of uncertainty, to minimize the amount that's up to chance. And so I totally agree with you. Like, the Giants, if they knew that information, probably should have promoted the kicker.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But they didn't.
We had Greenberg on earlier, and he had what I thought was a really good line. I'm crediting it to him. I don't know. Maybe this is written by some famous philosopher or something. But he said, luck is the residue of design. And I think when you look at the Commanders' operation, soup to nuts, the top of the building to the broom closet, the design is correct. The preparation is correct. Sometimes you get good breaks. Sometimes you get bad breaks. But when the implementation and the execution are all going in the right direction, you're going to end up with more good than bad. And then you throw an absolute star quarterback with incredible poise, it's really going to help.
Totally.
Absolutely. And that, like, that reminds me of another – I think a football coach said this. I don't know if it was Lombardi or not, but it's, you know, the best prepared team is the luckiest, you know, things like that. Like, it all feeds into that idea of minimize the amount of chance and you know, you get luckier.
How about the luckiest team is the most prepared? That's what I would say.
Oh, there you go. That's it. See, that's a better way to put it.
Another good one. I might have to write that one down. 48, it was a provocative piece, and I think that's what you want to do, especially this time of year. I thought it was really well done.
I appreciate it. I not try to provoke, just try to bring another element that, like, you know, we aren't talking about that I think is real when we're talking about next season.
Thoughtful, thought-provoking. Not necessarily provocative in a bad way, but interesting.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I'll take that one for sure.
I'd rather read that than, like, here's five guys that might not make the cut. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, we're all parts of the content machine, and some of it makes you want to engage more, and you accomplish that.
I appreciate that, JP.
All right, buddy. Appreciate your time. Thank you.
Of course. Appreciate you guys. Have a good one.
All right, man.
That's our guy, Sam Fortier from the Washington Post. You can give him a follow at Sam4TR.
Wonder if that guy that did all the analytics, was he lucky last night, or was his wife told him to sleep on the couch?
He probably got taken by Mr. Steal Your Girl, Chris Russell. When we come back, I'm opening these phones up. Blame pie for the Washington Nationals disaster. Your chance to weigh in. Anna, if you're out there, you get top billing. All right, here's where we're at. I think it's last week. One of my favorite days being a reporter in the football universe is once a year we get to talk to all the assistant coaches. And I just think if you want to, like, shout about how much football you know, that's fine. But I think in my position, the best outlook is to try to learn something every day. And assistant coaches are just like these wealths of knowledge about the game.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been running different interviews on different days. Larry Izzo is a guy you know well.
Yep.
Didn't you guys fist fight on a sideline once?
It's kind of one way. We got into it.
You know,
he say what Larry basically says, like, when everything started up, and then all of a sudden he just felt somebody choking him. That was me.
I mean, when you think about guys that you and Larry's a fairly undersized guy. They listed him at 5'10", 220. He's obviously shed a bunch of weight post-playing days.
Mm-hmm.
You and Larry played 13 years, maybe 14. I never want to shortchange anybody. You played about the same.
14.
You guys made a career as special teams stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's incredibly hard to do. And I've joked about this because I see it in your eyes. Like, you maintain it well, but that crazy's in there.
Oh, yeah.
To be a special team star, you got to be kind of nuts.
And I realized that rather early.
And, dude, I see the same thing in Izzo's eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, it's in there. You got to.
If you're going to be good at special teams, you cannot be sane. I'm just being real. Because, okay, I'll use this analogy. When you were young, you would swing and jump out the swing when it was high. You'd jump out of trees, try all kinds of stuff. When you got a little older, you wouldn't do it anymore. If you're a completely sane person playing special teams, you shy away from a lot of different things. When you're a little off, you slam into something that you probably shouldn't, then all of a sudden, boom, you come out the other side. And people go, that guy, man, he's great. No, he's crazy as hell. It just happened. It worked out for him.
Here's my conversation with Commander Special Teams Coach Larry Izzo. Coach Izzo, I think one thing we really learned about the Commanders last year is that you guys didn't take any play for granted. And I feel like in a lot of ways that started on kickoff coverage. Like, you guys want to cover kicks. You don't just want to blast it out of the end zone.
Yeah, absolutely. We take a lot of pride in that phase. It starts from the top, DQ. Our identity as a team, a lot of it comes from the guys on that special teams unit rolling down there. We start the games. We answer scores. And so that kickoff unit for us really fueled a lot of energy for the sideline and the stadium. And we chose to be aggressive with the play. And we had a good core group that was out there running and hitting like the way we want to play. And we were really happy with that unit in terms of what they brought. And at the end of the day, though, it comes from the top, the support that we get from DQ. We're just trying to go out there and put his vision, put it into life when we walk out on the field.
For sure. I mean, he talks about aggression arrive with violence. Like, you see it, those dirty kicks. I mean, and sometimes it's yards, right? You're talking about maybe you stopped them 2 yards short of where the touchback would have been. But when that accumulates over the season, is that kind of the idea?
Absolutely. You know, you just go out there and bang a touchback. You walk off the field. There's been no shift in energy, no momentum. But you go down there, you make a big hit on kickoff, sets the tone. energizes everyone on the sideline, energizes the stadium, or quiets the stadium when you're on the road. So, like, that unit really played an integral part with how we played as a team in terms of wanting to be aggressive, no fear, cut it loose, all of those aspects. That's what you saw when our kickoff team was out there last year.
You have two players on your special teams groups that have been recognized nationally, Pro Bowls, All Pros, all that. Jeremy Reeves, Tressway. I'm not asking you which one's the better player, right? Who's the more unique individual? Because those are two very interesting, highly motivated, but I imagine they keep you busy, those two guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel very fortunate to be able to coach that level of player. We got with Tress, been around forever, understands exactly what needs to be done and always comes through in the clutch. And then Jeremy Reeves, our leader, sets the tone for us. We got Nick Ballor. So all three of those guys really are kind of the guys that our younger guys look up to in terms of setting the tone. And they're all, each of them are all individually unique. So to answer your question, I can't pick one in terms of who is the, you know, most unique, but all three of them bring a little bit of that to the table, and they're all wired a little bit differently. And that's kind of how you got to play on special teams. It's like you got to be a little different to go out there and do what we do. And for Tress, he's kind of the calm, you know, calming type in terms of he kind of brings everybody. And like when you know he's going out there to execute his job, I feel everyone kind of can have the confidence that that's going to get done. Just the way he carries himself and the way he acts, he's a great teammate.
As good as specials were last year, the punt return spot was there were some hiccups along the way. Looks like I couldn't help but notice the team posted a video when in the draft room when you guys selected Jalen Lane, and you looked the most fired up of anybody in the room. Everybody's got to compete, obviously. Do you feel like he really gives you a good chance to be your punt returner day one?
Yeah, we're real excited to have the opportunity to have him here with us. You know, we identified that was a guy we wanted to target in the draft, and then AP was able to get it done. So obviously I was very happy about that. And he's come in here and not disappointed in terms of just his approach. He's a young guy. He's a rookie, but he's got a kind of vet's mentality in terms of understanding what he needs to do each week, each day. Comes out here, works hard, and tries to get better. And really intentional with how he practices, which is cool to see for a young guy. And so, yeah, we're excited to have him here, and looking forward to just seeing his growth. You know, he's going to get better and better, and look forward for those opportunities to come for him.
Last thing, new kicker, Mackay, a guy that's really made some big kicks in his career. How do you guys like go through that process of finding the right guy, and what made you land on Matt?
Matt's been in the league a while, obviously, Pro Bowl level kicker, has had a great career, and so we're really excited when he became available for us to be able to add him. AP went out and got it done, AP and his guys. So really feel good about that. He's come in here and just gotten to work. You know, this time of year, it's about building that chemistry with the operation and with Tress and Ott. We feel really good about that crew working together. They've done a nice job of building some chemistry and a connection right from the jump. So excited to have him here. He's a pro, understands what needs to get done. And this time of year, you know, it's June, but you know he's doing all the things that you'd want him to do in terms of preparing for the season.
Hard not to like Izzo, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says the same thing you do. They're different.
Yeah, that's the word you use. Different. And you know, we know what it means. You know what it means.
I do.
Most people that ask the questions about it, they don't know. They don't know what that different really means. They think they do. But if they were to see it in action, they would cower and run away and say, "That something's wrong with that guy."
As crazy as he is, obviously, Jameis Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Like his description of catching a punt.
Yeah, that was funny stuff I heard.
That kind of like, in a way, opens the door for people to understand how nuts special teams in the NFL is.
Yeah. Everything you do is at high levels of speed and ends in a collision. Like football, the offense, defense, so that most guys, like the offense, defensive lineman, they're 7, 8 yards. I mean, 12 inches to 2 feet from each other. They don't get up to enough speed when they hit. They're the bigger people. Yeah, I understand all that. But the guys run 40, 50, 60 yards to come hit you. And you're running full speed back at them. Those collisions are different. And it takes a different special person to get used to liking that. No, loving that.
Revo's
the nicest dude you're going to meet.
I know.
Until you step on the football
field. I know.
Yeah.
It's funny you mentioned Revo again. So I just pulled it up. Revo's All-Pro year was 2022. And I remember where I was. I believe it was the last NFL stadium I had never worked a game. Week 11, late November in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
You remember we went out the night before that steakhouse with Biagi, and it was a wild night. Working the game in Houston, down on the field pregame, talking to a coach I know that's on the Texans staff. And just kind of, you know, shooting the breeze.
Shooting the breeze, Houston, Louise, telling Ruth the truth.
Yeah, Houston was having a tough year. And the coach, this is week 11, he goes, man, 39 is just destroying it. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, 39 in red. Dude is a killer.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. I was like, and I think sometimes you got to be honest. And in this moment, I was a little naive.
Uh-huh.
And I said, you know, all the tape you're watching and special teams that are popping, he's like, the way he's playing it, it impacts every game.
Yeah.
And I think that is the mindset of this staff is pro football is a game of razor thin margins.
Hell yeah.
And if you can win the margins, you can win the game.
Totally.
Nobody go anywhere. Al Koken, Smoking Al, is going to join us at 1:30 for a little Stanley Cup preview. Nobody go anywhere.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.